Good morning to you. We are recording. Whoop, whoop. Cool. I'm so excited because I've been, when I started this, Mona.
Yeah.
I was like picturing you like joining me for a few episodes. So this is like a dream come true.
Oh, nice. I like dreams that come true.
All right, guys, I'm so excited because I have a real special guest and on today. And I, when I started this podcast, I had her in mind and I wanted her to come on. This is totally like, we did not talk before. Like, what are we going to talk about? You know, we were just like, well, just do whatever. Great to talk about anything you want to talk about.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to like stop you from sharing your heart and stuff. So, but I do realize that not many people know who you are and where you come from. I've known Mona for, gosh, Mona, how long has it been?
Let's see. You were living in Kansas City. We're rooming at Beck's house and,
Yeah,
it's been a long, 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 long time.
That was like 2003, 2004.
Yeah,
maybe it's.
I think because
I remember I moved to Kansas City in 2003, I think it was.
Okay.
And then I left. I think I left because I graduated 2002. I graduated the year my mom passed away. So that I remember. And then it was like a year later that that I met Mike Bickle and went out there and all of that. So, yeah, I think it was 2003 was when I finally moved out to Kansas City. And then I moved out to California in 2000 and towards the end of 2005.
Yeah, yes. That's right. Because, yeah. Let's see, 2005.
Yeah.
You were here, and I just found a picture from when we were at Disneyland on Christmas Day with Ryan and Amy.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. That was crazy. So how many years is that?
Well, we probably met in 2004. I think, were you involved with one thing in 2003?
2004, because... that was when Rend the Heavens came out. It was 2004.
So I'm sure I was at Beck's house for that.
Yeah.
And also that's...
Oh, you were.
That's,
I remember.
Yeah, because you had to get up at 6 a.m. You had a 6 a.m. set after you've been doing the one thing. And it was like, I think you had a hat on and I couldn't see your eyes, but I did go to that 6 a.m. set.
Yeah, I was tired. So tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the summer of 2005, as a matter of fact, 2005, I was out there with Amy and Ryan because they went to camp at Kanakuk. And yes. I hung out
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I totally hung out. And
It was July, right?
Yeah, totally. We had 4th of July.
July 4th. Yes, I remember. We grilled freaking ribs or something.
We
something
grilled ribs. So much meat. It wasn't even funny. You guys all poverty mindset. I mean, sorry. Wait, fast lifestyle that you you didn't have any money. You didn't have any food. It's all to Beck's house. And we had sausages. We had ribs. We had burgers. I think that was the – and Nina and Ryan and Brandon and
– yeah.
They just come and eat
in Hampton. Yeah, and Ryan Landis. Oh my gosh!
And then Sarah Kim made coconut macaroons for that.
Sarah Kim with Laura Hackett.
Laura Hackett's always in the picture. She came
always.
Out. Yeah, that's right. Then she came out to California too.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
I remember that. Wow.
Yeah, we go way back. We go way back.
We do. And. So I wanted to get Mona on because, first of all, Mona's been a really, really great friend to me. and has she's one of those people in my life that calls me on the carpet.
Aww.
You do, and you do it with such love, and you're not afraid to do it, and I've obviously, like, we've built so much trust, and I've been kind of like, and I don't want to, I'm just going to talk freely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have any, you know, any kind of agenda or anything, but I've been kind of just thinking about the importance of having people in your life that call you on the carpet on your BS, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the last couple of days I've just been thinking about, you know, the people that are in my life that do that. And I'm so, so, so grateful to have, it's like so good to have and so hard to have
mm-hmm.
those people in your life that do that. That are not afraid, that are not yes men, right?
Mm-hmm.
That are not afraid to tell you the truth. And the truth about who you really are and the truth about who you really aren't. and that's good and bad. And I don't know, I've just been thinking about that and the importance of that in my life and how, like, critical it is to have those kinds of people in your life. And I'm so, so grateful that you are that person in my life. And aside from all of that, you've been a true inspiration for me, you and Tom both, really, like, falling in love with nature.
Mm-hmm.
And the importance of getting outside. I know that I've spent a lot of time with you guys, especially the last year, and you guys have, like, even in times where I did not want to go outside, you guys have encouraged me to go outside, knowing what that does for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful that you guys, you and Tom both, have been so instrumental in me being this, you know, whatever you want to call it, nomadic, you know, city girl turned nature girl, dirt princess, person that absolutely and like utterly appreciates nature for all that it has to offer.
Mm.
And to see and experience it, right? Not to just see photos and say, oh, that's cool. Gosh, I wish I could go there. But to actually go there,
yeah,
and actually like have your eyes see, you guys have been so pivotal in that respect for me, and to be the one that dares to enjoy nature,
mm-hmm.
that dares to go out and venture out and wander a little bit and see things with my own eyes. And you guys have been so pivotal for that and have been a true, you know, it's actually the reason why I started Dirt Princess. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, but what that is. And in all reality, I'm still trying to define it, to be real honest. I'm still trying to define what that is.
Sure.
And you guys have been so pivotal. And so I wanted you to come on and just talk a little bit about your background and where you're from and you know your upbringing and all of that, because I want people to really know who you are, because I love who you are. And I love it when you say super. That's so super, super awesome.
Right.
I love it when you take me out on drives. I love it when you sit me down and you read me a story. I love it when you encourage me and you, like, you get so passionate.
Mm. I like that. And passionate.
Yeah, yeah.
Passion is better than intense.
you get passionate and intense sometimes. But I love it because you know, I know that that your heart's in a good place when you do. And so I don't know. I hear you. I hear your heart when you do that, versus you just sitting me down and just talking to me, I don't know. Maybe what Jonathan was to David, King David. I don't know. Kind of like that. So, and that's really random, and I've never said that out loud, but that's the first thing that came to mind. Just someone that is just true friendship, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't know. So, Simona, we've known each other for many, many years, obviously. We've established that.
Yeah.
When I met you, my mom just passed away. Probably about 2 years, a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really get to really know you until I went out to California to do a worship thing, and you told me to come out to Sonora and stuff. And so just tell us a little bit about you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Issa. Thank you so much for just taking the time with me this morning. I love talking to you no matter what.
Yeah.
No matter what, whether we're in the car or whether we're on the phone and I'm in the car.
Don't make me cry, damn it.
But yeah, it's a sweet quality. And I think that it's a mutual place of trust and transparency. To bring that quality to our conversations. I think Proverbs says that when you say something to somebody that doesn't want to hear it, it doesn't turn out super good. Mm-hmm. And so you have ears that are willing to listen, and you're teachable, and you have a really tender heart. One of the things I love and admire about you, Issa, is that you don't really rest when you feel there's junk inside that needs to be dealt with and taken care of. You confront yourself before you confront anybody else. You go after your stuff as it comes to the surface, and as it's something that is brought to your attention. So I'm thankful you have a teachable heart, and you're not defensive, and you don't try to justify. Mm. So anyways, I think that helps in conversations and doing life together.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in 1958. I'm 60 and strong, baby.
Hallelujah.
born in Iowa, youngest of three, and moved in 1965 to California. Growing up in California is a lot different than growing up in Iowa, and people are a lot different in California than they are in Iowa. And I mean that in the nicest ways, but, even now, California has a reputation of, say, being a little wild and crazy. but as a 7-year-old, not knowing any better, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. Midwest, if I stereotyped, is very people oriented, very neighborly, very Mr. Rogers. And, family was close. My dad was one of seven kids, and we were around cousins all the time. So he was the black sheep and moved to California. And there was one family from Iowa out here, and we hung out with them quite a bit. Did our, Christmases and Thanksgivings with them. But family was the missing piece, and my folks got super busy. So I learned to find solace and comfort in nature. And when I was young, my folks put me in Girl Scouts. I think by the summer of 66, probably, maybe the latest 67, I went to a Girl Scout camp up in the San Jacinto Mountains in Southern California. And this camp was set up so that we got to sleep on a cot under the stars amidst the trees. And it was a short walk down to a creek where the water rushed over the rocks. And I remember as a kid, because we lived in, we moved to Riverside, California, SoCal, not the beach, not what everybody thought, oh, California. Yeah. It wasn't at the beach. It was inland. They called it the Inland Empire. Some people call it the armpit of California. And the mountains were tall, but the valleys were kind of flattish. So you were surrounded by these foothills and mountains, and it was San Jacinto, super tall, right by Palm Springs. You can go to Palm Springs and take a tram to the top of San Jacinto. And then it goes around San Marino Mountains to Mount Baldy and San Gregorio. And so Southern California has this really sweet mountain range, but we lived in the valley where you could see it. And then that summer, the first summer at camp, when I heard the wind blowing through the trees while I slept at night and it sounded like water rushing, well, I could sit by the creek and hear the water running over those rocks, and I could swim and wade in it. Cold, fresh, freezing Sierra Mountains. The water just, you know, is pristine. That's when I fell in love with nature, and that was my solace, because I came back down to the reality of life, which was concrete. And people that didn't look at you as a person, they weren't like Midwest West folks. They kind of had an agenda, and you felt more like a number than a name. So that was a 7-year-old, 8-year-old, 9-year-old's perspective. In fact, the first school I went to, how's this for bizarre? I was in second grade, I think, maybe, yeah. And they designed the school not to have windows.
Wow.
Because they wanted to control the focus of the students. The only classrooms that had windows was kindergarten. And I do know that, I just really believe that that's how the Lord awakened my heart, and he ministered to me while I lay there in my car. I wasn't scared. You know, people today would be going, oh my gosh, there was raccoons walking around and maybe bears. And like, you are so right.
You're right.
We could hear the raccoons fighting on the bathroom building, and it sounded like the worst cat fight you ever heard. They're very violent with one another, but they stayed away from us. And so yeah, that was my intro, and I fell in love with it. And I went backpacking, and every summer I really looked forward to going back to that camp. It was near Idlewild. And
where's that at, Idlewild?
It's if you were to drive 10 out towards Palm Springs, Highway 10 out to Palm Springs, before you get to Palm Springs in Banning, you just turn up the mountain and you drive straight up. And Idlewild's this teeny-weeny town. To get into our camp, you had to go through a campground called Dark Canyon, and the road was super, super skinny and windy and dirt and filled with holes. And
hallelujah.
You were off the beaten path. People didn't drive out there.
Yes.
In fact, in 1970, let's see, what year was it? It could have been 72, summer of 72. There was a fire, and it was massive, and we were at camp. I was a counselor in training.
Wow.
And we're watching the ash fall into our dinner plate, because we ate outdoors too. And at about 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, we got the call that we had to be evacuated, but they couldn't get a bus in. So we hiked out with 125 campers.
What?
To the road where the bus was, got on the bus, and they couldn't take us to Banning because that's where the road, where the fire was. They turned around and took us the opposite direction, and they took us to Hemet High School, where we stayed with Red Cross. So yeah, it was back, deep inside, where you weren't around concrete, you weren't around anything but trees.
It's true backcountry.
So gorgeous and beautiful. And so yeah, that's where I started falling in love with nature. And that's where I think that was my California survival technique, get outside. And so, yeah, that was beautiful for me as a kid. And then growing up in that, it was incredible. And backpacking. So if I fast forward through junior high and high school and graduate from college, my first year teaching was in Newport Beach. And so I didn't love the beach. I loved the mountains. And the Lord took me on a new journey because I was there during off-season. That's the word. Off-season, when it's not cluttered with people and cars. Yeah. And my school was on a bluff above, right above the ocean. And my PE classes were an hour and a half. So I'd run my PE class down the bluff, down the road, cross the street safely, of course. And then we'd do PE on the beach. We'd go out on the jetties and do our devotions. It was a Christian school, a little tiny Christian school. It doesn't exist anymore. We do devotions on the beach. And so that was really sweet to learn how to enjoy the ocean and waves. And I appreciated that. I still, my first love with this was the mountains. And I'd interviewed at a school up in the area that I live in right now, Tuolumne County. So the next year I taught in the mountains. And the first day I was there, I met my husband, Tom Tom. And our first impressions were, I had heard his name before I came because I heard that he was a man that liked backpacking. So I had a preconceived idea about a mountain man. Hmm. And first day we had to have our teacher orientation. We sat around the tables and he sat next to me because he gave me a math book. I taught some remedial math classes and we had to hold hands for prayer. So I held hands with Tom the first day I met him. And then we sang some worship songs. So I got to hear his amazing voice. And so we got to know one another. And that was the start of a really sweet relationship. In fact, June, we have our 35th anniversary. We got to know each other. And 2 years after I started at Muddleload in 82 and 84, we got married. Anyways, Tom loved backpacking. He loved the outdoors. And that was one of the foundations to our relationship. And he had a family cabin up in the woods near a lake. And we would go there. The first time we actually driving in a bus, because I had to spend 20 hours behind the wheel, and he was the bus driver that rode in the car with me, so I was legal, 20 hours behind the wheel in a school bus. Our first date was really chopping wood in Pinecrest at the cabin.
Of course.
Anyways, so that's been something that's been really true blue for both of us, and we've done backpacking together. We love beauty. In fact, we had a conversation about, he's retired now. He taught for 36 years, science and math to junior hires. I haven't taught for a long time. But every summer we would get out to Pinecrest and do more things. And so for me, California was an interesting part of my journey. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like California, but I loved the mountains. Mm-hmm. And, the other thing that was sweet in California is where I got to meet Jesus and I really got saved at a really important time, my 10th grade year in high school. Mm-hmm. And I was with people that loved Jesus, and I knew they had something I wanted. They were friends and they were kind to me. And I would go to their Bible study at lunchtime because I thought everybody who was born in America was a believer. They was Christians if they was born in America. And I didn't know that there was something lacking. And my head knew that Jesus was born on Christmas and he died and rose on Easter. But that's all I knew. And so when I was with these people, I saw them love each other through hard times and through good times, and I thought I wanted what they had, but I didn't know how to get it. And after almost a year of going to these lunchtime Bible studies as a poser, I had two ladies knock on my door when I was homesick. It was April 15th, 1974. And they asked if I'd ever heard of the four spiritual laws. That's a very old school evangelistic tool that people used with an organization called Campus Crusade for Christ. And so they read these verses. God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. I'm like, that's nice. That sounds good. Sounds like the God I'm getting to know. Yep. All of us have sinned and fallen short, so we have this big gap between us and God. I'm like, oh, that makes sense too. So Jesus died on the cross and rose again to create this bridge for us. Huh? Yep, mm-hmm. I'm in total agreement with everything you're reading.
Mm-hmm.
And but to have that bridge gapped, number four is you need to develop your own personal relationship with Jesus. You need to ask him to forgive your sins and become your Lord and Savior and enter into a relationship with him. Have you ever done that? I'm like, no. Well, would you like to? So I was kind of like, I was standing there, the screen doors between me and these two ladies, and I'm like, sure, yeah.
Hmm.
They didn't know all the history I'd had with these friends who had been kind and planting seeds of love and being examples of love in front of me when they didn't know anybody was watching.
Hmm.
So I prayed that prayer with those ladies, and they gave my little pamphlet, Four Spiritual Laws, and said, make sure do you have Christian friends that can help you? Because you need fellowship to be able to stay strong and grow. Hmm. And do you have a Bible? I said, yep, I got good friends, and I've got a Bible, and I understand. I don't think I can do this by myself, so.
Hmm.
They took off, and I never saw them again. And I don't know their names.
Hmm.
But when I walked away from that door, I tell you, there was a tangible awareness in my heart and my mind. And I walked into the hall and looked over my shoulder. I thought, is somebody here? And sure enough, I had my first experience of the presence of God, the reality of his affection for me and kindness from the core of my being. And so from that point forward, I honestly didn't tell my friends I became a Christian.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna dig in. So first day back at school, I leaned forward to my friend in front of me in English class, Janet Ivins. And I said, hey, Janet. Yeah, yeah. I go, what's your favorite book in the Bible? She says, oh, the book of Matthew. It's so awesome. And I went home that night and read the whole book of Matthew. And then asked my other friend, Sue, next day, what's your favorite book in the Bible? She says, oh, the book of John. It's just all about love. I said, okay, I went home, read the book of John. So I just dove in, and that was really how I didn't have anybody teach me how to love Jesus. And we were going to Christian concerts at Calvary Chapel Riverside. Greg Laurie was the pastor then. He was this crazy hippie with jeans and t-shirts, long hairs and mm-hmm. beard.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really beautiful because that was essential for my survival. So the two things that I found when I came to California was a love for the creation. And then got to meet the creator and fell in love with him.
Mm.
And so, yeah, there's a lot more I could say, but I think that's a really good foundation to lay. I got out to this area that I've been living in since 1982. Mm. And the people here felt like I was back in Iowa, Midwest folks that my kids have been born and raised here, and they have a community. A community is the other core with Tom and I. We love Jesus. We love the creation. And we love community. And people matter. And they matter to us. And so, you live life and you go through lots of different things as families. And we were surrounded by people who loved us and loved our kids. And,
yeah.
And that has been just profound.
Mm-hmm.
His folks live farther away. My folks live farther away. We had people for our wedding volunteering their house for the reception. They're volunteering to help organize a potluck for the reception. Another friend took me down to San Francisco to find my wedding dress. And another friend said, I know I do flowers. Let me take care of your flowers. I mean, I had a community that became this big old family. And that's the way it was the whole time. In fact, Becky Higgins, who you lived with in Kansas City, it was her folks that took me in. I lived with them 6 months before I got married.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to see, because I thought it was cool to see how these Christians did this family and marriage thing. And
mm-hmm.
It was so cool because every time it was time to have the next baby, so Katie had to be watched while I went into labor with Amy, and they took Katie with them, and they were like grandma and grandpa to her, and she just stayed with them for several days while Tom and I had Amy, and then when Ryan's turn came, then they took Amy and Katie, and they have been family. In fact, Tom Higgins, how's this for history? It's really beautiful, in my opinion. Community. Family that goes farther and deeper than blood.
Yeah.
Tom Higgins took the photographs. He was my photographer for Amy and Katie's wedding.
Hmm.
That's history. That's a stretch of time right there.
Mm-hmm.
Now Amy and Patrick live in Kansas City, very near Beck and her husband Tony and her little girl Joy. And Amy's kids are growing up with Joy as one of their best friends. So community is something else that has been in Tom and I's DNA. And I think, Issa, that's one of the things that's drawn us closer and maintained a beautiful history, because if we didn't have the history with one another, through this time, neither of us could speak life to each other, pull the greatness out, see the best.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's good. It's kind of nice to reflect and remember.
Yeah. It's good to reflect and remember.
So I do remember different times that you been out in nature, and I'm so glad that the small world of you, Philly girl,
I know,
city girl,
I know,
meeting Jimmy Bailey,
I know,
at your college, NIAC, and he was one of my old Tom and I's old students.
I know.
You know what's interesting here? This is such a random. This is like a ping pong conversation. My brain, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Dude, go ahead. Jimmy Bailey's mother, Jimmy Bailey's mama, Carolyn Bailey, she was in the preschool. And the preschool at the school that I was teaching at.
Hmm.
And she led Katie to the Lord.
Wow.
She said, "Katie, now that you've heard about Jesus, would you like to ask him to be your Lord and Savior?" And she said, "No." Katie said, "No." Kate's the oldest. She's a thinker. She wants to know when she makes a decision. She's all in.
Oh, my gosh.
So she walked away from Jimmy Bailey's mama, hung out in the playground, kind of by herself. That's what she did.
Hmm.
And came back later that day and said, "Okay, I'm ready now."
That's funny.
I don't think I've ever told you that story.
No. And you know what? Jim Bailey, obviously, was in the college that I was in. He was a spiritual formation director at the time. And my mentor at the time. And
that was.
It's so weird. And Jim Bailey, you call him Jimmy Bailey. I call him Jim Bailey. Jim Bailey. Jim was the person that took me on my first backpacking trip ever. Ever.
Right?
I remember because it was a few miles outside of Redding, California. We went to the Trinity Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Trinity something. I remember we ended the backpacking trip just going to heading out towards the beach in Patrick's Point.
Mm-hmm.
We spent the night on the beach. And I remember that hike. It was like, I don't know, like 8 miles or something crazy like that. It was brutal. I had blisters. I had the wrong shoes. It was just, city girl. Not knowing what the heck I was getting myself into, really.
Yeah.
And the night that we stayed overnight, I had a deer pee all over my sleeping bag.
What? What?
Yes. It was a freaking deer peeing on my sleeping bag. Better deer than a bear, I guess.
Oh my gosh.
It's horrible. But it was my first. I did my first backpacking trip with Jim Bailey. He like introduced me to Henry Nouwen and all the mystics,
Oh yeah, yeah, the contemplatives.
Yes, yes. But anyways, it's so crazy. Yeah, that we're connected with these people that have been instrumental in our lives.
So right. Crazy.
Yeah. Jim Bailey. Yes, backpacking. It was awesome and hard at the same time. It was beautiful, though. Stunning.
Don't you think that's where your heart was awakened?
For sure. It's where, I mean, it was that, it was the same year my mom passed. So I was this little angry, girl trying to figure out what the heck happened. And, I did this road trip with Ben and, Janine, who were my college friends, still friends now, but, and we did this road trip and we met up with Jim Bailey, and it was like, that whole trip was all about me trying to get my bearings on what had just happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it was intense. And yeah, I would say that it played a role, a major role. But it wasn't reawake. It wasn't like that was the trip that kind of got me going. I feel like it was a little later. Probably when I met you and Tom, and Tom would always talk about backpacking, and I'd always be like, that's kind of interesting and intense. I don't know that I ever want to do that again.
Right. The physical memories were very, very real to you.
Oh yeah. I could feel the blisters right now.
That's funny.
On my feet. No, it was intense. It was not, I mean, I lived in the city and, you know, I didn't have a gauge or anything. That was my first backpacking experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awesome. It was beautiful. It was hard. It was, you know, me and God, and everything about the hardness about it just kind of rubbed up against my own hardness of heart.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's why I love what nature does, because it is, would you say it's a little unforgiving?
Yeah. Yeah.
it like strips you of everything you think you have. And it says, it kind of acts like, for me anyways, like a mirror.
Yeah. It does expose what you have inside.
It does. And, you know, I don't know if you know this, but remember that time that we went to Joshua Tree with Aaron and Tammy?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That was my first, that was kind of like a little bit of a test on whether or not I could take a group of people out into wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And that weekend was kind of a little bit of a test. And do you remember Tammy's reaction to being out there?
Oh yeah, she was a little uncomfortable.
She was. And Tammy, she's this beautiful woman, super successful realtor with a beautiful family. She never did anything like that. And she wasn't sure how it would go. Like she told me, and she wasn't sure how any of it would go. And the terrain of the park is desert and hot, and I think it's a stunning park. So I was a little nervous about how it would go down, honestly. And we did this hike. She had this really cute outfit, hiking outfit that she had on. Remember? She had this cute outfit, and she kind of looks at me and she says, "Issa, I'm so glad I'm doing this. I love it." And I looked at her and I was completely shocked. And
yeah.
She liked it so much. She went off on her own, yep. Like the dirt princess that she is, really.
Yeah.
And maybe more like a dirt queen.
Yeah, serious. Yeah, that's good.
She shocked me, and I think right then and there, I said to myself, I need to figure out how to bring people like Tammy out to places like this so that they can find out what they are really made of, you know, and find some rejuvenation. So, you know, picturing her, this busy woman with a successful business, taking time out and enjoying this park, you know, like she found her park. And I think that's why Dirt Princess exists. It's for a lot of things, rejuvenation for someone who's never hiked, or done anything like that to do it. With people that, you know, have done it before, it was cool. It was cool to see her react that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I was completely shocked. She inspired me for sure to do something like this. And so are you trying to get the dogs to stop something?
You hear my little snap? They're outside now.
Oh, how are they?
They're happy. And they're looking at me like, why'd you put me outside?
Oh my gosh. So I started this thing called Dirt Princess Life. And part of, like I just said, it's to get people out, get them to experience nature a little bit, get them out of the busyness of life, into a place where they could just relax. And our first trip was this past year, back in June, and I did it with Mona and Tom, and we explored a little bit of the Sierras and some other spots as well. I wanted to talk a little bit about that whole week, because we're doing another one next year, and we already have several people registered that have bought their entrance into that week, and I'm getting more and more people asking about what it's about and what does it entail, and honestly, I'm still trying to figure it out. I just know that nature does awesome things to me, and I know that if I can get a group of people out there, that it would do the same to them.
And, yep, for sure.
And not everyone is not. It's not for everyone. It's not something that, you know. I truly believe everyone should do it, but it's not for. And not everyone will do it, and that's okay. But I will for sure be out there, and we will for sure be out there with those that have already signed up to be out there. And yeah, I just wanted to talk with you a little bit about it, because I know that you were there, you experienced it, you helped plan it. And yeah.
You know, it felt to me like, Issa, it felt like, because we've, you know, just had different experiences together. And yeah. and watching your own personal experience of the reality of just not seeing or knowing about beautiful and great places, like not seeing it, a picture of it and reading articles on it.
Yeah.
You know, you can watch a YouTube on it. I don't care. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, like experiencing it face to face, and not just with seeing with your eyes, but with your soul.
Yeah.
The majesty is in the real experience. Your soul gets ministered to by the creation that God created just for me, for you, for us. Mm-hmm. And so I've watched that in you, mm-hmm. and I feel like that was compelling you to get other people to come.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is just coming away from all of the, you know, like me describing as a child, getting away from the concrete world and all of these natural things like dirt, like trees, like sky, like sounds of water and wind, birds. Those things really do minister to the core of our being. And you don't get that, the awe and majesty, without being in it. And so as you had the idea and it started formulating, I loved seeing it kind of develop and pull out of you what it is that you were after, mm-hmm. what you loved most, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So being in places, I'm going to say this, that are safe.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people that don't have experience, like we talked about Tammy being a little bit unsure, people get out there and they're like not really sure.
Yeah.
There's a fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
And that's legit.
Yeah.
But what's nice is one of the things was for you to create a safe place.
Yeah.
So that it's like it's not just an intro. If you've already been introduced to the outdoors, you're going to love it and you already know that. Mm-hmm. But if you haven't and you have fear, the city girl, you know, even people that live in this county grow up never going to Yosemite.
I know.
And, you know, Tom took his eighth graders for 3 days every spring. And some of those eighth graders had never been to that place. Mm-hmm. And you can grow up around an environment that has more beauty, but you don't even see it. You don't even know it. So I felt like it was kind of sweet for me to watch you create. You were all about wanting to create an experience for people that was safe, that was carefree, so that they're coming away from the cares of their life.
Yeah.
To be in a place where they're safe. And then with all of that taken aside out of the way, so they don't have the burdens or the cares of their normal everyday life. Mm-hmm. Now, like spoon feeding, if you will, let's taste this.
Mm.
Take a peek at this. And one of the points that I saw you labored mm-hmm. over every single detail and seeking the Lord and asking him what he wanted. But it was so that each person that came could have the best experience possible.
Yeah.
In this place that had been, and it still is, profoundly significant in pouring life into you.
Yeah.
And that it would be the period of time they're here that they would be washed with life and mm-hmm. filled with life. And that comes in this place, and it's raw, and it's, and I was like, one of the things I was surprised you didn't put parameters on how it was going to happen. You didn't. Because, and I remember you saying to me, every person is going to experience it different. Every single woman that was on it this last summer had their own profound encounter.
Yeah.
Encounters.
Yeah.
Internally.
Yep.
And every day was different. And every day there was a different message for your heart, for their heart, from heaven to their heart, through the creation and through the community that was grown and developed in that week,
mm-hmm.
through the times of transparency and honesty around a campfire.
Yeah.
That though we were, you and me and Tom, I believe, were taken by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Because these women came willing to get out of their comfort zone. And that right there is a door opener.
Yeah.
That right there is like taking everything to a whole nother level.
Mm-hmm.
And they each came willing to get out of their comfort zone, willing to be in a place unfamiliar, and willing to stick it out.
Yeah.
When they encounter things like, whoa, and you want to put your brakes on, you're not just tapping your brakes, you slamming your brakes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wait a second, I came here. I say, God, what do you have for me? This isn't like a boot camp. I'm just going to say that. It wasn't like a boot camp. It wasn't like, I lift, right, lift, right. Do the dishes, pack your bag. You know, it wasn't like that. It was created. You know what I'm saying, right, Issa?
Totally, yeah.
People can think, oh my gosh, it's so I'm going to go to a boot camp and work really hard. No. It wasn't about physical labor.
Yeah. In fact.
You did the red carpet, baby. That's all I'm going to say. They got red carpet treatment because I watched your heart pour over the details to make it a. An experience. I wanted to use the word luxury. but for their soul.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, totally it does. So I mean, we still dealt with dirt.
We was in the dirt. That's why people don't. I'm not talking about Ritz-Carlton facilities. I'm talking about, well, unless you want to call the creator of the heavens and the earth who created this,
yeah,
this arena for us to enjoy and
right
participate with. But Ritz-Carlton service.
And service.
Planning. Yes. Yeah. That's what I mean.
Service. Yeah, yeah. Totally. Yeah. And I wanted to, honestly, I didn't want people to think that they had to take care of themselves. I wanted everything to be taken care of.
Yep.
Because I feel like a lot of times we spent our, well, looking at who was coming, I knew a lot of them were moms.
Mm-hmm.
If not all of them were moms. And, or about to be a mom.
Yep.
And I just wanted, people to not have to like, have to do dishes or clean, you know, or cook or any of that stuff. Like when we said it was all inclusive, that all you had to do was get there. Right.
Yep.
I wanted it to be so that they didn't have to, because they didn't have to think about, I already know that being out in nature, there's a lot that goes on mm-hmm. in the head. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing I wanted people to be worried about, thinking about was the everyday day-to-day stuff. Right.
Yep. Yeah.
And so in that sense, yeah, I wanted it to be kind of like this, the service, the Ritz-Carlton service, you know? And, yeah, I think we definitely accomplished that, you mm-hmm. know, the feedback that we got. And,
yeah.
And you know, people saying you have to do this again, and me trying to figure it out.
Yeah,
you know, I love what J.R.R. Tolkien says. He says we all long for Eden, and we are constantly glimpsing it. Our whole nature is still soaked with a sense of exile, and just like quotes like that, that kind of, you know, like that have drawn me to go out and take a risk and live a life that's more driven by curiosity than fear,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yes.
And I just love, I love looking at quotes like that because it just reinforces my desire mm-hmm. for people to really get out into nature and to yeah. really experience it. I'm a yeah. photographer, right? And so I take photos and I'll post them, and people will comment and say, wow, where was this? Or, you know, and it's just like, for me, like part of that is cool. And the other part is just so like, oh, you need to be there, you know?
Right.
Like
nothing else like being there, being yeah. in it.
Exactly. And so I love what you said the other day. We were talking and you said, you know, you mentioned, you know, I forgot what it was that you said, but you said pictures are just, you know, pictures are pictures and something else. Ah, what was it?
You have, you seeing it with, seeing it on in a picture, it looks amazing. Yeah. But being there and experiencing with your whole being, with it, seeing it with your own eyes, touching it with your own hands. Yeah. That is where the wonder and awe
yeah.
gets into every cell of your being.
Yeah. And I just gotten back from Norway, and you know, I've had this list of mine of places that I wanted, you know, been wanting to go see and experience and things I wanted to do. And I just, a few months ago, I was like, you know, I'm just going to go to Norway. I'm going to go see the Northern Lights. Finally, go see the Northern Lights. And I am so glad I did. I was sitting under this dark sky, and all of a sudden, this light just started forming. And it felt like I could touch it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the trippiest thing, because sometimes the lights will just form right under you.
Wow.
And it feels like they're dancing over you.
Wow.
And And it's the most magical, majestic thing I've ever experienced in my life. Wow. And I've seen a lot of things, but I've never seen or experienced that kind of, that, I don't know.
Wow.
Phenomenon.
Wow.
Really.
Wow.
There was one night that it was just so crazy that I literally, Mona, I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off, trying to figure out what part of the sky do I photograph?
Wow.
Because it was that crazy. There was so much activity going on all around me, all over me. And I just was like, this is why I love to do this.
Yeah.
This is why, like, to look up and to reach with my hand and to feel like these lights, like I'm touching them.
So wild.
Because they're literally being formed.
So wild.
Up above me.
Mm.
Oh my gosh. It was crazy. It was insane. And I don't know. I love what John Muir, you know, he's like the greatest quote for nature, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of quotes out there for nature. And
mm-hmm.
I love his, the clearest way into the universe is through a forest wilderness.
Yeah.
And there's a few other ones that he has that I just like hang on to, you know,
mm-hmm.
because it's just, it's so good and so inspiring. And this is why this is why Dirt Princess exists. This mm-hmm. is why we're doing this again. Next year, June 2nd through the 9th of 2019, it'll be in the Sierras, and
Well, I'm going to tell you my favorite quote about nature.
Okay, hold on before you do, Mona. I'm going to have to stop this recording and start it again because it's about to end.
Okay,
it's,
so we got a part one here.
Part one. This is part one.
Okay.
Part one. Woo!